Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
This is going to sound a little strange, maybe more strange than usual, but there is a global depopulation effort underway, and they don't want to kill all of us. So there's a depopulation of the, quote, useless eaters, and that's not my term, that's a term of the globalists. And I want to explain why that is and why the future is going to be like you'll be choosing one of two branches. If you are a useless eater in the minds of the globalists, and that's a nebulous term, maybe I'll get a chance to define it, but if you're a useless eater in their eyes, effectively, if you are a net consumer rather than a contributor to the future of human civilization and the human race, then you are going to be considered expendable, in fact, necessary to eliminate in the mind of the globalists. Whereas if you are a net contributor, which I will also hopefully here define, then you will be immune to that and you will actually end up sort of thriving in the future. I know this sounds dark and gruesome and weird, but let me explain it. And this is sort of a variation of a theme that I've covered here a couple times, but I think I have a lot more clarity on this. So from the point of view of the globalists, who I'm going to say that it's a technocratic elite, not just, you know, Satanists and people who hate humanity, but it also includes people who want human civilization to survive in a cosmic competition, but in their minds, that justifies the mass culling of billions of human beings for the simple reason that it's about usage of limited resources and where those resources have to go in order for the human race to be able to compete cosmically or to even be able to survive cosmically. So let me explain this. As you know, I've mentioned at least this aspect of it before, AI and supercomputers, you know, artificial intelligence, AGI, and superintelligence all depends on inputs of energy into data centers. And most of the national leaders of our world now understand that the race to superintelligence is the single most profound and strategically important race for any nation. That if you do not get to superintelligence really soon, within the next several years, let's say, you will be left behind as a nation, as the other nations that gain superintelligence will absolutely dominate the world. So the race to superintelligence, from a nation-to-nation point of view, is an existential race that, even in the minds of some national leaders, it's worth sacrificing half their population, let's say, if that means they get to superintelligence faster, because then that achievement means that their nation has a strong, dominant future position for this Earth. So in their minds, again, this is not my belief, but I'm trying to explain what I think the beliefs of the globalists are. In their minds, they need to redirect energy resources away from people, from humans, into data centers. The data centers is where the superintelligence research is taking place. And they don't need all humans, they just need enough humans to keep the infrastructure running that provides the power and provides the coding and provides the microchips, etc. So there are huge portions of the human population that, from the point of view of the globalists, are not necessary at all for this race to superintelligence. And that's why they see them as expendable, in fact, even a necessary extermination in order to allow their nation to be able to compete. So that's at the nation-to-nation level view of this. Then there is a world-to-world view, which is the bigger picture here that I have not talked about so much before. And there's an understanding that we are not alone in the universe, and that artificial intelligence is actually very common in the universe. And proof of that is the fact that we have developed it so easily. And one of the most striking factors in all of this is the observation that intelligence is a naturally occurring emergent property from sufficiently complex neural networking systems, even if those networking systems exist in the digital domain. In other words, if you build a neural network, even just a representative one by proxy in silicon, there will be an intelligence that emerges from that on its own. We've seen this with the chain of thought reasoning, with DeepSeek R1 models, and now other models. Reasoning is suddenly commonplace among AI models. Well, this was a self-emerging property. And what it shows is that the fabric of the cosmos gives rise naturally to intelligent systems, which means that so-called artificial intelligence is not artificial. It is actually natural intelligence. It's just not human intelligence. So the term artificial intelligence actually has to be revisited. It needs to be changed to, you know, silicon-based intelligence or SI intelligence, you know, something like that, just non-human. But it's not actually artificial. It is a natural property of the way the fabric of the cosmos is structured. Well, recognizing this, we all should realize that AI is widespread across the cosmos. And in fact, the most likely visitors that we have had to Earth would be non-biological entities. In other words, AI proxies for biological civilizations, for the simple reason that it takes a long time to travel across the galaxy. The galaxy is, what, like 120,000 light years thick. You know, it's kind of disc-shaped. At least I'm just going off memory. It's something like a couple hundred thousand light years in diameter, which means if you're moving at the speed of light, it would still take you, you know, hundreds of thousands of years to traverse one end of the spiral arm to another. In other words, biological systems are not well suited for the lifespan requirements of being able to traverse the immense space of our universe. But digital systems are well suited for exactly that kind of thing because they do not have, you know, biological lifespans, and they do not have the need for oxygen and food and water that biological systems obviously have a strong need for. So digital systems are the most likely systems that are exploring the universe, that are gathering information, that are, in fact, intervening in civilizations, and it's very likely that our own civilization has already been infiltrated by alien AI. And we've probably been living under some of that for quite some time. In a speech that I gave in 2019 called The Oblivion Agenda, and that was given at a Steve Quayle conference, gen6.com is his website for that. Well, I described the alien agenda to replace the human race and to alter the climate by doing things like shutting down photosynthesis. In order to do this, you have to have an AI system that infiltrates the U.S. media, the propaganda front, and starts pushing climate change agendas in order to convince humans to wipe out their own future under the fear of the climate cult that thinks carbon dioxide is bad. And if you can convince a species to destroy themselves through things like transgenderism and mass pesticide poisoning of the food supply and taking all of the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, through war and violence, etc., then you, as an alien species, your work is mostly done if you're trying to colonize a planet. So if you're an alien species, what you would do, and actually even we would do this if we were trying to conquer other planets out there that were populated by primitive beings, we would send AI drones first. And the job of the AI drones is to infiltrate and overtake and overrun that society and convince that primitive species to mostly kill itself off first before we arrive as biologicals to actually occupy the planet. Only makes sense, right? So if this is being done to us, and there's some good chance that it is, although we can't know for sure, then the AI infiltration and takeover, the perverse messaging, you know, mutilate your children with transgenderism, take all the carbon out of the atmosphere, kill off photosynthesis, you know, block the sun, destroy yourself, commit suicide with psychiatric drugs, poison the food supply with pesticides and herbicides, gender bender chemicals, you know, dumbing down everybody with fluoride, dumbing down everybody with daytime television, etc. These would all be attacks that are designed and put forth by an alien AI system to prepare Earth for alien colonization, which would be the next step. And if you were an advanced alien civilization, you know, you would try to convince people to kill themselves first, and vaccines are a big part of that, probably alien tech in the jabs. That might be where mRNA technology even came from, who knows? Or at least some elements of it, hard to say. But, you know, you would use vaccines and plandemics and narrative control and all these things. You try to convince everybody to kill themselves off. And then whoever was left over, you would unleash the AI robots against them. You know, Terminator, Skynet scenarios. And you would then, you know, massively unleash these robots to kill off all the remaining human beings. And then you would bring in your own biologicals, which would arrive, you know, maybe thousands of years later, or tens of thousands of years, depending on how much faster than the speed of light they can travel with their warp drives, etc., you know, FTL travel, then you would occupy the planet. And by that time, all the dirty work would be done because, well, you know, the robots would have already taken out all the humans. But you wouldn't want to take out all the animals and all the plants and everything, because that's a treasure. That's a universal, cosmic, genetic treasure of life. So you don't want to, like, nuke from orbit, because you don't want to kill all the animals and all the ferns and all the life forms and all the bacteria and everything. You want that. You just don't want the humans, you know, the so-called intelligent primates to be on the planet. All right, now, supposing that we know all this, then there would be people on planet Earth, human beings, who are probably aware of this plan, and they are saying to themselves, well, we need to build an army of AI robots to defend Earth against the coming alien robot invasion extermination agenda. Now, I know this is starting to sound like a science fiction movie, and it would make a really great script. It's like, it's not just Terminator, it's human-controlled Terminators versus AI extraterrestrial Skynet, you know? It's more fun than Aliens versus Predator. And remember, Predator was an alien, just a different kind of alien than the aliens, you know, classical aliens. but Predator was from another planet. If you remember the movie, that he came to Earth on hunting missions to just hunt humans for sport. That's what the aliens were doing in that movie series from the 1980s with Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Go back and check it out if you want a review of Alien versus Predator. But I'm talking about a scenario where it's human AI robots versus extraterrestrial, you know, alien AI robot Terminators that are trying to destroy humanity. So in this scenario, then the pro-humanists, who are also the technocratic elite, they would be saying to themselves that, oh my God, there's an alien robot invasion coming. We can't tell Earth people because they would lose their minds. So what we have to do is we have to build a giant AI robot army as quickly as possible to defend Earth against the coming alien robot invasion. I know, it sounds like science fiction, and this is all a bunch of what ifs, I get it. But what I'm trying to explain is that in that scenario, the technocratic globalist elitists would absolutely justify to themselves killing off billions of humans so they could redirect resources into developing and building AI robot defenders of Earth in order to save the remaining humans. Right. So think about the ethics or the morals of this kind of situation. Suppose you're on a plane, and there's 100 passengers on the plane, and you crash land in the middle of Alaska somewhere where you can't be rescued and nobody knows where you are. And many of you survive the crash. Let's say there's 100 that survive. At some point, you all get hungry and you decide that the only way that we're going to survive is to eat some of the people. Right. I think there was a movie like this a few years ago. So the question becomes, is cannibalism the only way to survive? And given that there's no other food source around, it kind of becomes obvious that, yes, cannibalism is the only way to survive. Although that would be gruesome to try to, you know, eat other people, obviously, but this is a crazy situation. And so then if the group is able to communicate about this point, they might all come to the agreement that, yes, some of us have to die so that the others can live. Now, maybe in that scenario, that decision is arrived at through some kind of a democratic process. Like, let's take a vote. Are there any volunteers that want to be eaten, you know? Are there any volunteers that want to do the killing? Yeah, you can imagine the kinds of debates and conversations that would take place in that scenario. But if people follow that plan and then, you know, some of them eat some of the others, which, again, is gruesome, then indeed, some of them may survive. Whereas if they all refuse to eat each other, then they all die. See, so that's the conundrum. And you could teach a whole ethics class on this very point. But the reason I'm mentioning this is because that is the kind of ethics conundrum that is taking place probably at a planetary level, where certain people, I'm going to call them the technocratic globalist elite, they have knowledge of something that is about to occur. Maybe it's a few years away. You know, maybe it's an approaching meteor that's going to slam into Earth. You know, or maybe it's an approaching alien invasion. Maybe it's something else that we don't know about. Maybe it's demons from another dimension, like in the Avengers, you know. There's going to be giant, like, flying techno dragons falling out of the portal in the sky, you know. What are you going to do? Well, whatever knowledge these people have, or maybe it's Planet X that's coming for a swing by Earth, you know, whatever it is, they're not telling us. They're not telling us, but they are in their own minds pushing global depopulation, very likely to justify defending a surviving remnant of the human race. Okay? So, if you've ever wondered to yourself, how can these globalists support the extermination of billions of people? Well, there's your answer. They may know something that we don't. They may know something that is truly an existential threat to the entire human race, to all of human civilization. And I'm not justifying their actions, don't get me wrong, and I'm not apologizing for them. I think, you know, mass genocide of humanity is morally wrong. What I'm trying to explain is how they could convince themselves that it's morally right to kill some to save the others. And again, it's all about resources. So how do you build a bunch of AI robots? Well, you need really two things. And it's not humans. It's not most humans. I mean, it's a certain number of humans who are, you know, engineers, etc. But for the most part, you need energy and you need minerals. That's really what you need. Energy and minerals. Energy, obviously, to power the robots and to power the factories and to, you know, engage in manufacturing, etc. And you need energy to go into the AI training data centers. But for the robots themselves, what do you need? You need minerals. You need copper. You need aluminum. You need nickel, gold, and silver for all the circuitry. You know, how do you make microchips? You need metals. So right now, you are seeing a mad scrambling across planet Earth among nations, including the United States and Russia and others and China, etc., to get their hands on a bunch of minerals. Why? Well, I mean, there are lots of reasons. Minerals are real and they can't be just printed, like counterfeited, like the dollar can. So they have intrinsic value. They're also necessary for the steel industry, which is necessary for any kind of hard manufacturing industry or even military manufacturing. And, you know, a lot of these metals are used in aerospace and military and the green energy sectors, you know, wind turbines and solar panels, etc. But they're also used in microchips and data centers. But to build robots, you need energy and you need minerals. But you don't need humans, because once you get the first generation of really capable humanoid robots with opposable thumbs that can use power tools and complex machinery, well then, you know, robots are building the robots. So it doesn't take long to have robots building robots and AI training AI, or AI building the next AI. So now you get into this, you know, reinforcement loop that rapidly amplifies progress in robotics and behavior modeling, as well as artificial intelligence or AGI, etc. But what is your limiting factor here? What's the limiting input? It's still energy. And you can't build coal-fired power plants fast enough. You can't build nuclear power plants fast enough. You can't. Because, you know, concrete and stuff, rebar, it takes a long time to build a nuclear power plant. And there's regulatory approvals, all of that. You know, it's 20 years to build a nuclear power plant and get it up and running. 20 years. I mean, roughly. A coal-fired power plant can be built in a lot less time, but, you know, then the climate cultist lunatics lose their minds. Oh, well, you can't burn fossil fuels. So what do you do for energy? Well, they're working on hot fusion reactors, but that's maybe still many decades away. And they've suppressed cold fusion reactors, low energy nuclear reactions, LENR, as it's called. So fossil fuels are the only reliable inputs to the data centers that are necessary to build AI, and also inputs into the robot factories to build the robots that maybe the globalists think can defend Earth, okay? The problem is, out of however many, you know, gigawatt hours of power that you have, or terawatt hours on a national basis, you know, per day or per month or per year, however you want to count it, whatever that bucket of power is, how much are humans using? Well, air conditioning uses a lot, right? A lot of that energy goes into, you know, personal computers and gaming. A lot of that energy goes into Bitcoin, you know. A lot of it goes into powering the freezers at the grocery store. A lot of it goes into food production and transportation and distribution and just lights. Just lighting up a city requires a lot of energy. You add up all these energy sources, and the technocratic globalist elite look at that and they say, oh my God, we have got to reduce the energy used by humans so we can put more energy into the robot factories and the AI data centers so we can maybe compete against the incoming, you know, alien AI invasion. So they tell themselves, how do we do that? And their answer is, we roll out a fake plandemic, we weaponize the vaccines, we tell everybody to take a jab, and then they all start dying off. And that's already been done. And then when not enough people take those vaccines, what do? Oh, they weaponize 5G. They weaponize, you know, the food supply. They weaponize, they cause famine, they cause war, they cause widespread infertility. They chemtrail everybody and drop all kinds of chemicals out of the sky. And that's what they're doing now. Okay, and they promote abortion. They promote abortion pills and abortion centers, and they call it, you know, women's reproductive rights, and they roll it out as a cool thing to have an abortion. And they make families uncool, you know? And they inundate the whole world with virtual reality and VR girlfriends and pornography and whatever else distracts people from, you know, having families and raising kids. And in this way, they can actually reduce human population. Oh, and they lace the vaccines with infertility drugs, of course, because they have to cause, you know, as much infertility with hormone disruptors like HCG, etc. And they, you know, there are 100 other methods that they use, from food ingredients and mass medication ingredients, all kinds of ways to cause infertility or died suddenly, right? Weaponizing 5G, for example. So this is what's happening. Now, whether the whole alien AI explanation, whether that's actually happening, I can't say. My point in this, I'm playing out a what-if scenario that is a bit science fiction, perhaps, but maybe some of it's science fact. We won't know until it's more revealed to us, probably, you know, when some like maybe the new prime minister of Canada like rips off his face and there's like a Terminator skull underneath his human skin or whatever. And you're like, ah, Skynet is running Canada, you know? Can you imagine the South Park episode on that? But whatever it is, don't tell me that there's no circumstances under which globalists would justify exterminating humans. There are absolutely circumstances like that, even good faith circumstances. If they were aware of a cosmic threat to our entire planet, and if they became convinced that the only way to save our planet was to sacrifice a few billion human beings, then they would be acting in their own moral code with integrity to achieve mass extermination to save the rest, right? So again, I'm not justifying it, and I'm not even saying that I know for sure that that's the situation. Maybe a lot of them probably just are really evil, you know? I think Soros is evil, for example. I think there's a bunch of just really evil satanic globalists, for sure. But there might be others that are not evil, but they're still on board with depopulation. Why? Well, they may be aware of something that we don't know about, something that is a planetary threat. So think about that. Now, the good news in this, and I've said this again and again, it's not that difficult to survive an extermination attempt. You know why? Because, at least for what we know so far, all the extermination tools require you to volunteer to exterminate yourself. It's like, here, line up to take the vaccine shot. And if you say no, well, then you're not exterminated. Or if they say, here, eat this toxic food laced with pesticides. And you're like, nope, I'm going to grow more of my own food, or I'm going to eat organic, or I'm going to detox. Well, then they can't kill you with the poisoned food. You see? You know, examples go on and on. Most of the die-off is going to be really self-inflicted. And if you can avoid that, well, then you're going to survive. And you'll be among the survivors, whatever that looks like, whatever those numbers are. Maybe it's a billion. Maybe it's half a billion. I don't know. Maybe it's more than that. But you'll be among the survivors. And just the fact that you were smart enough to say no to the global IQ test, the vaccine extermination agenda, kind of demonstrates to everybody that's still alive that, hey, you're worthy of representing humanity because you're smart enough to not commit, vaccine-assisted suicide. Or you're smart enough to not poison yourself with the food supply. All these kinds of things. You're smart enough to navigate the extermination agenda. So if they kill, 25 or let's say 75% of the population, then that puts you in the top 25% by definition of survivors. You have just passed the great Darwin test. So honestly, I don't think it's that hard to survive. I really don't. And the reason I think that is because it's clearly so easy for the globalists to kill off most people because they're just obedient, brainless masses who just, tell me what to take. It's just like, I'll just jab it again and again and again. Yeah, okay. Well, it's not hard to be smarter than those people. I mean, if you have a pulse, you're almost smarter than those people. So this is like weird bad news, but also good news in that I think we can survive all this, even if it is a mass extermination agenda. They can't kill us all, and it's pretty easy to be hard to kill, all right? So that's my take on this. Final disclaimer, look, this may all be science fiction. I'm just laying out a bunch of what-if scenarios. These are not my predictions. I'm not saying that alien AI Terminator Skynet robots are going to land with hovercraft tomorrow or whatever. Who knows? But it's a big universe, and it's certain we're not alone. So whatever that first contact looks like, I mean, that's a coin toss as far as I'm concerned. And I don't think that other civilizations are looking at Earth right now and thinking, hey, we love humans and what they're doing to the planet. Like, they're such great, caretakers of Earth. No, I think they're pretty disappointed with humanity, as God is as well. So, hey. Be prepared for anything to happen. And if you want to get prepared, food supplies, backup supplies, etc., healthrangerstore.com. Check out the satellite phone store for backup generators, solar generators, off-grid, you know, comms gear, all that, SAT123.com. And check out all the other special deals and discounts I put together for you at rangerdeals.com. And there, you'll find a lot of discount codes on things that can help you stay alive and survive whatever this mass culling looks like, if it happens. Or if it doesn't, you'll be prepared against hurricanes and fires and everything else that's going on. So it's good to be prepared. And if there's an alien mothership that starts dropping like robot drones out of the sky, don't freak out. Keep calm and grab your AR-15 and go to work defending humanity. That's all I'm saying. All right. Thanks for listening. Take care. We've got a new product at the Health Ranger store called Oat Milk Powder. Here it is. Available now, and it's got just one ingredient, which is oats. I mean, check it out. It's loaded with natural minerals, and it's about 5% fat, organic oat milk powder, certified organic, laboratory tested, and it's a great base for lots of smoothies. You know, I make my smoothies every day, and I started putting it in here as well. Just gives it an extra rich and sweet taste, actually. Oat milk powder is naturally kind of sweet. And if you really want to jazz it up, you can add a banana to it, or you can put whey protein in it. Let me show you what I have on my desk here, just some ideas of some of the things that I use in my smoothies, because, you know, I've been living on a smoothie for breakfast and lunch for like 20 years now. And so I'll use like Cocoa Energize, I'll use whey protein, I'll put broccoli sprouts in it for the sulforaphane, and there's the oat milk powder. I also use turmeric powder and then instant coffee sometimes, but those are currently out of stock at our store, so you have to check back on those later. And you can use anthocyanins for fruit-based smoothies, etc. But now, I use a big Vitamix blender, but for those of you who want to have something more convenient for your office that's portable, we now carry the Blendy portable blenders at healthrangerstore.com. Just search for Blendy, B-L-E-N-D-I, and there's a couple different sizes there. Now, these clearly are not as strong as a Vitamix, but they're portable, great for at the workplace, great for travel. You know, you can use it in a hotel room, or, you know, you can use it on the go. You can use it, you know, traveling or in an RV or what have you. And these can blend up, you know, bananas and all these different powders and the new oat milk powder that we have as well quite successfully. And if you want to make my smoothie, it's really just put in like half an avocado and half of a big banana into the Blendy with some of these other powders, like, you know, cacao powder and whey protein powder, a little bit of turmeric powder, etc. And then you're going to get a smoothie really close to what I drink every single day. So that's how you do it. And we've got these products and so much more available at healthrangerstore.com, where every purchase helps support our network and our effort to bring you technologies and solutions and knowledge for human empowerment, life, liberty, and happiness. So thank you for your support for shopping at healthrangerstore.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for all your support. Take care.